Lord, once again, we thank you for this day. Lord, we come here seeking you. We come here seeking the deep things of you. Open our hearts, Lord, to receive everything you have for us. Lord, because we come expecting, and you won't let us down. Open your word for us, please, Lord. Open heaven for us. Bless your people this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Communion Sunday. You probably figured that out, didn't you? Why do we do this? We're told to. We don't do this to satisfy our physical hunger or thirst. Do you believe that? It's not going to happen, is it? We do this to satisfy our spiritual hunger and our spiritual thirst. We do this because we're told to. We do this to remember. Jesus said, "This do in remembrance of me." You know, prior to that night, 2,000 years ago, it was always about Passover. And it still is, because Passover is all about Jesus Christ. That's why he said, "This do in remembrance of me." Because there's always a lot more in the Bible than we realize. There's always a lot more in the Bible than we can even know. It's like peeling an onion, layer after layer after layer. It's as deep as you want it to be, or it can be as shallow as you want it to be. Actually, I don't think shallow is the right word. It can be as deep as you want it to be. Our opening scripture this morning was Amos 3:3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? The key word in this verse, what it's all about, is together. And what does together mean? What does it speak of? It speaks of communion. It speaks of fellowship. Can two walk together unless they be agreed? Walk. What does it mean to walk? That's getting from one point to another. It's a progression. It's continually moving forward. I don't know anybody that walks backwards. I don't. I have enough trouble walking forward. With God's help, though. Well, anyway. Walk. We read a lot about walking in the New Testament. You know, walk worthy of your calling. Walk in love. Walk in peace. But there are three phrases in the Old Testament that are very similar. But each presents a different aspect of the same truth. The first one's found in Genesis 17:1. God told Abraham to walk before him. What's it mean to walk before God? Does that mean out in front? No, it doesn't mean out in front. To walk before God. The word before doesn't mean what you think it does. First commandment in the of the Ten Commandments is, I'm going to throw you a curve here, because it's actually the first commandment is, I am the Lord your God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. The first part is actually the commandment. The second part clarifies it. I am the Lord your God, he says. It's a commandment to believe, because it always starts with belief. But the second part is very important, and that's the one that we remember. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And contrary to what some people think, it doesn't mean you list your gods and you put God number one. God is always going to be number one, but what before me means is in my face. In other words, you shall have no other God. In my face, in my sight, in front of me. So to walk before God means to walk in his sight. Why should we walk as if we were always in his sight? Because we are. We don't do anything behind his back, do we? We might think we do, but he knows. Years ago, I read a verse in Ezekiel that changed a lot about my thinking, my whole attitude towards the things I was doing. God talks about the children of Israel's idolatry. He said, I was crushed by your idolatry. Crushed. The things we do that are contrary to God break his heart. They should break our heart too, shouldn't they? Since we know that we are always in his sight, we should do only that which pleases him. He told Abraham, walk before me and be thou perfect. Are we perfect? In God's sight we are. But in reality, I'm not. But that's the goal that we set. That's what we strive for. The second phrase is found in Deuteronomy 13:4, where the children of Israel are told to walk after God. That means let him go on ahead. Well, it means walking in his ways, according to his ways. Imitating him. Following his example. Walking in his footsteps. You ever walk through deep snow? It can be difficult, but if someone else has walked before you, what do? You try to step where they step. You might step on their shoe, by the way, but because sometimes the snow will pull your shoe right off your foot. But walking in their footsteps. You ever see little children stepping in their father's footsteps? That's what it's all about, isn't it? To walk, stepping in his footsteps. The third one we find in Genesis 5 and 6, and that's the one that is closely related to our opening scripture. It talks about walking with God. There's only two people in the Bible that it is said that they walked with God. One was Enoch and the other was Noah. What does it mean to walk with God? In Enoch's case, he started walking with God. I believe what it says is that when he was 65 years old and he had a son. Of course, God told him to name his son Methuselah, which means with his death, I will bring it. In other words, judgment. In other words, God's saying, you see that little boy of yours? When he dies, the day he dies, that's the day I'm going to destroy the world. What a responsibility. From that point on, Enoch walked with God. We're supposed to fear God. I believe Enoch feared God. And he certainly I find it interesting that Methuselah lived to be older than anybody else that ever has. God gives us a chance, doesn't he? Only two people walk with God. Does that mean that you or I can't? No. I don't believe it does. To walk with God means that every step is with him. We are in step with him. That brings back a memory of when I was in boot camp. Fourth man, third row, get in step. I don't have to tell you who that was, do I? You know, it's funny because the movements is so different that it's so obvious that someone's out of step. Not just looking at their feet, but the way they bounce, the way they move up and down. Anyway, like I said, I know all about that. Walking with him. Talking with him. Like two friends would do as they're walking along. Talking with each other. Listening to each other. Sometimes there's just quiet. Just silence. Just enjoying the presence of the other one. That's the way we're supposed to walk with God. And he enjoys our presence. I don't think we spend enough time quietly in the presence of God. I know I don't. I'm usually too busy talking to him. The Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Walking with God. We are progressing through our life every step of the way with him. No, it's not easy. But there's hope it can be done. But we get distracted, don't we? But look past the distractions and look back at him. Start each moment as if you're walking with God. And then something comes along, distracts you, takes your mind off it. Okay. Start again. Start again. Our opening scripture, can two walk together except they be agreed? Does God want us to agree with him? That's an obvious answer. Should be. Isaiah 1:18 says, come and let us reason together. Come and let us reason together. You know, that doesn't mean to argue or debate. There's no happy medium with God. If we try to be equal with him, we're actually being our own God, aren't we? We got to remember who he is and who we are. He's not looking for us to bargain with him either. I remember an encounter I had with a tow truck driver once. So actually, it was back when I was in the Air Force. It was in town, out in the country. It was off base anyway. And I had a dead battery, and I tried to get the tow truck driver to stop and ask if I needed any help. And I asked him how much he'd charge me to jump it, and he told me, I think it was like $3 or something like that. That was back in the late 60s, so, you know. $3 was $3. And I said, how about two? And he said, how about four? You know, three sounded pretty good. And fortunately, he didn't charge any more than three. But God doesn't want us bargaining with him. You know what? We don't want to bargain with God either. Pharaoh bargained with God. Or God bargained with him. How did God bargain with Pharaoh? One plague at a time, one after another, 10 of them. Oh, you're not convinced? Have another one. We don't want to bargain with God. Just ask Noah. I mean, not Noah, Jonah. One of those Old Testament guys. God doesn't want compromise. Does he want us to compromise? You know, that same Pharaoh gave the children of Israel several compromises. He was trying to keep them from going and worshiping the Father. Stay in the land and offer your sacrifice. Well, just go just a little ways outside the land. Well, go ahead and go, but leave your children here. Go ahead and go, but leave your possessions here. Jesus said that where our treasure is, our heart is. So that didn't work either, did it? Besides, they needed those cattle. They didn't know what God was going to demand for a sacrifice. Anyway, eventually Pharaoh gave in. God doesn't want us to compromise. He wants us to totally agree with him. Be reasonable, he could say. Do it my way. You know, in the end, he actually gives us a much better deal than we could have ever hoped for. And how does he do that? Because he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think according to the power that works in us. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. He wants to have fellowship with us. And he wants us to have fellowship with him. It has to be both, doesn't it? If we take care of our part, he's going to take care of his part. He wants to have fellowship with him, but only on his terms. Be reasonable. Do it my way. Of course, you know I'm going to be reading from 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 32. But first, I've got another paragraph in my notes. Okay. What is the end result of our religion? What are our creeds for? What are our rituals for? What is our theology for? What was Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for? That the two may walk together. God in you. God in me. Walking together. Not us walking ahead or behind, but together. Side by side. Fellowship. Communion. First Corinthians 11, 23 through 32. For I have received of the Lord that which also I deliver unto you. You know, if we get something from God, we're supposed to spread it, aren't we? We're supposed to share. We don't keep it inside us. We don't hang on to it that way. We let other people know what he's doing for us. That's what we do during testimony time, isn't it? And it blesses others. You know, a few weeks ago, I said something that, thinking about it, was wrong. I said I didn't agree with a certain song where it says what he's done for others, he'll do for you. But I was wrong. If you look at the context of that song, it is no secret what God can do. It's talking about salvation. It's talking about his mercy. So, yes, What he's done for others, he'll do for you. And I wanted to clear that up because that's been bothering me. Sometimes we look at things and we only see part of it, or, and then we speak. Yeah, I'm going to have to answer for every word I've said. For I have received of the Lord that which also I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. He knew Peter was going to deny him three times. He knew the disciples were going to abandon him. He knew one of them was going to betray him. And yet he still went through this, didn't he? He took bread. Bread is a symbol of fellowship. And when he had given thanks, how many times did Jesus give thanks? We don't think about that, do we? And yet, several times, it talks about him giving thanks. He was a thankful person. Even though he was God, he was still thankful. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. You shall show the Lord's death until he come. He is coming back. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body, not knowing, not caring, not being affected by his sacrifice for us. In other words, it turns it into nothing. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. For when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. What are we told to do in verses 28 to 32? Self-examination. What else? There's something else involved in that. There has to be something else involved in that. It's repentance. Self-examination isn't anything without repentance. I'm going to ask John and Ricky to come forward and start passing out the elements. Repentance requires belief. We can't repent without believing. And in my opinion, we can't believe without repenting. There has to be both. Repenting restores the relationship we were meant to have with him. This is the time in our communion service where we take the time, we close our eyes, and we talk to God. We examine our hearts. God doesn't want to disqualify you from doing this. This is a way that everybody can do it. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, do it now. You don't need a crowd to do that. You are supposed to confess with your mouth that you're saved, that you're a Christian. But it's personal at the beginning, isn't it? And if you have something in your life that you think might disqualify you, then tell them about it. Ask them to forgive you. That's all it takes. The things of God are really very, very simple. Like I said, though, we can go as deep as we want after that. But salvation, a relationship with Him, it's really very simple. So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and spend some time with the Lord. Has everybody been served? We don't want to miss anybody. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the body that you sacrificed. We thank you, Lord, for this bread and what it represents. You may eat the bread. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Lord, we thank you for the blood that you shed, the blood that cleanses us from sins. the blood that nourishes us and refreshes us. We thank you, Lord, for the price you paid for our salvation. You may drink the cup. Jesus, Jesus, there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim, kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Yes, Lord. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here. We thank you, Lord, for the Spirit that's here. We thank you, Lord, for your love, which surrounds us, strengthens us. Lord, we pray for that presence to continue throughout the day and continue till we meet again and beyond that, Lord. Lord, keep us safe. Keep us strong in you. And keep us focused on you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everybody, for coming. That concludes our service.